God, you have connected us together in a special way, unique. We're trying to hammer to follow your spirit. May Holy Spirit, may you give me words that will enhance and advance their ministries and bring them to a deeper dimension of what you call them to do. We thank you and praise you for every person present and their ministry and their calling. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to deal from Philippians chapter 1, actually the first through the seven verses. But the seventh verse, the Apostle Paul talked to the church at Philippi, saying, even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And then he says that at the end of that seventh verse, which is a very important statement, the Holy Spirit worked with me about that statement, you are all partakers of my grace. Ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul saying, ye all are partakers of my grace. So seven things I want to talk to you about that in a few moments. The mystery of partaking the apostolic grace is what we're going to talk about. The mystery or the mysteries of partaking the apostolic grace. Now, the apostolic grace is sort of virgin territory to us in its reality, carrying out the full function of the apostolic, not just wearing a title. And three things the Holy Spirit spoke to me in imparting this to you. It is recognizing it when you see it. In other words, you don't accept a fake. In other words, make believe. But it has to be the real thing. And you have to have the ability to recognize that apostolic grace when you see it. The second thing is, you have to come to the point and realize you don't have it. Now, that's a shaky ground there because a lot of people think they have something, they don't have it. I think we somewhat and so much at this point are traveling virgin territory when it comes down to the real understanding and revelation and manifestation and demonstration of the apostolic grace of the New Testament. So recognize it when you see it. And realizing you don't have it is the second thing. And then the Spirit is giving me something right now. Respecting it when you step up on it. That's what I get. When you come in the presence of that type of grace or that type of anointing, give it a respect because you want it to roll off on you. And then my third one, which I had here, and it's so important, you have to receive it with humility. Recognize it, realize it, and receive it. Now, the Apostle Paul explained this grace, or how this grace worked, in a great scripture. I'm indebted to this scripture. When the Lord called me into this apostolic position, then 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul tells how his apostolic grace worked and apostolic ministry worked. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But you see, there's no way for looking for cheering. It's just doing what the Lord tells you to do. And he said, his grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. So the apostolic grace is a grace, and you cannot function in it, or you cannot partake of it, unless you recognize the grace and position yourself to receive it, discipline yourself to receive it. Also, another scripture, Galatians 2:20, you know, we often quote that. I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me, and the life I live now, live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the next verse says, I think it's at this point, in no way, no how, you want Satan to trick you to frustrate the apostolic grace. In other words, I'm not talking about a pushing, I'm talking about your spirit from not understanding the movement that God is taking you in to take you to another level. And when you talk about frustrating grace, that's grace that is not engaged. I mean, there's impartation of deeper dimension of grace. The Apostle Paul talked about in Ephesians 3, talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ. He talks about, when he talked about the dispensation of grace, how it was revealed to him. And the unsearchable riches of Christ, he talked about the manifold wisdom of God. He talked about access, confidence, and boldness. So all of this is in that grace, that apostolic grace. So if you frustrate the grace and do not engage it wholeheartedly, you will not get the manifestation, and then you'll go away saying LTMA is not helping you in it, you're not improving it. No, it's on you, because the goods are there, and we just got to become one and partake of it, change what we need to change, and take upon aspects of anointing, aspects of wisdom, aspects of anointing, aspect of understanding that this grace put before us as we right here this morning, we're together. That's the only reason we're together, is to try to get this impartation, to get this apostolic in your anointing, in your ministry, and what God has called you to do, because all of us should have a taste of the apostolic in our ministry, this heaven to earth government, and making sure that the portals of heaven is open. That's what Jesus' ministry revealed to us in Matthew, I think chapter 3, when he told John to baptize him, but when that dove, the Holy Spirit, opened heaven and the voice, that's, those three things are so important for this apostolic grace. Yielding to the Holy Spirit, operating under open heaven, and being able to hear the voice of God. So again, I want you to see the Apostle Paul explain how this grace worked. And then he talks about frustrated grace, and that's grace that is not engaged. In other words, everybody on the phone here, sons and daughters, you have to engage this grace. You have to get around it as much as you can. Because I think we're building at this time in a new dimension at large of what the church really know about. Okay. And then everything that is taught must be caught by the spirit of faith. We know 2 Corinthians 4:13 talk about the spirit of faith. If not, if it's released in the spirit of faith, and if you are not operating in the spirit of faith, then you won't catch it. And the spirit of faith will keep us from saying a whole lot of stuff we shouldn't say and cause us to say the right thing. So my desire for each one of the members of LTMA to operate and function in that spirit of faith, that some of the yokes and some of the chains and some of the things that have held you from actually exploring your gift can begin to function properly and openly, and that you'll move to the next level. We're finally going to get down to a part of this about encouragement. I can't hardly wait to get to it, because I know in my many years of ministry, a lot of ministers have a tendency to be discouraged because their ministry is not populating, the finances are not right, people come and just leave. And so when I get down to that point, we'll deal with that. So we have to operate in the spirit of faith, to be in the unity of faith, on the level of faith that we as ministers must operate in. Secondly, embracing the apostolic grace, embracing the apostolic grace is not a small task. You must be committed to the encounter. I want to give you that again, and I want to give you a very crucial scripture on that. Embracing the apostolic grace is not a small task. You must be committed to the encounter. Now, it's called here encounter. And when you go back to verse 7 in Philippians 1, apostolic grace should have, must have experiences. It must make encounters available. You must have certain engaging evidence, and then you must embrace it. So one more time, and I'm going to go to Acts 15. I got my Acts 15. I need to go to Acts 15 because it's very important here to see this. You know of this verse, but as I say to my family or someone I was talking to, you'll never exhaust one verse. It's so impregnant. Not the whole Bible, just one verse. You'll never exhaust it. But I always was aware of this scripture here. And it's a powerful scripture, Acts 15:36. Again, and I want you to make note of this. Embracing the apostolic grace is not a small task. You must be committed to the encounter. Here we have Paul showing how important it was that a person really was interested or did they really want what he was putting out or really wanted the experience, wanted the teaching, etc. There in Acts 15:36, he said, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brothers in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. In the 37th verse, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now here it goes, in the 38th verse, but Paul thought not good to take him with them. He didn't see enough commitment for the encounter, who departed from them at Pamphylia and went out with them to the work. So John Mark decided to depart. Paul said, I'm not putting up with this, because I'm wasting my spiritual energy trying to put in him the grace that I'm walking in. And he went back for some reason. So what happened here? In the 39th verse, and the contention was so sharp between them, between Barnabas and Paul, that they departed asunder. One, Paul didn't change his mind. One from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Solomon, departed, being recommended by the brothers of the grace of God. But I'm just emphasizing from the 36th verse and the 40th verse in the 15th chapter of Acts. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. If you don't press, if you don't push, if you don't look beyond a man, a men, or a group, and recognize this is the Lord's doing, and that each move we make is so important in the conventions that we have, the money conference we have, is not just the teaching, it's so much else available, graces that are coming out during those times. That's why the MVBs emphasize you try to be to the meeting, and they keep coming back to the meeting, because they're at every meeting. All 12 are at every meeting I have, and they're getting it, they're constantly getting it, and they can tell you the divine result, because it's the grace of apostleship that is being placed on their line. But it's not the same as being off a distance and being right there with it. So you can get complacent, you can get comfortable, and you can get there. I can't get there. If you keep telling yourself you can't get there, you won't get there. But if you start, I know personally for myself, I did the same thing the MVBs are doing now. I didn't miss none of Brother Hagin's meeting. I was in all of them, and it was a miracle, because I didn't have the fun to be there, but I was embracing that grace, and I knew I had to be committed to receive that encounter. I had other fellow yokemans who, you know, stayed home and Well, it's visible now. It didn't get the results. One of the revelation of being able to follow closely to take the impartation of this apostolic grace, two strong words were spoken to me a year before I got money coming, was accommodation and consolidation. And I speak those words over you now, because the Lord revealed to me as I was going over that prophecy that he did this for me, accommodation and consolidation. So I'm speaking that word over you today, that you will have the accommodation and God will consolidate things where you who are hungry and desire to partake of this anointing will not be like John Maul. Another thing is in the 62nd Psalm is another prolific insight of what this is all about, what we are doing. We're not just a regular organization trying to get a lot of numbers and all that and hustling. We're really trying to impart to you the things of God at a higher level. So if you're taking notes or you're making a note of this, in order to function or in order to receive and recognize this apostolic grace, one of the greatest mysteries of it is expectation to be developed at another level. Expectation to be developed at another level. Now, you notice I'm repeating these things because I know that's what teaching does. Sometimes you say it two or three times when you're ministering. If the Holy Ghost is touching you about something, just keep saying it. Expectation must be developed at another level. The person that you're under or the person that over you, like I said, you have to have respect, but you must understand, no matter what their weaknesses are, if it's designed by God, they have something to impart to you. You pay close attention. In this 62nd Psalm, beginning at verse 1, he said, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. The third verse said, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bow and wall shall you be, as a toddling fan. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. And then he says, Salah, keep your heart clean in this relationship. Let the Holy Spirit keep your heart clean. And the fifth verse says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So expectation, when God is positioning you to bring you to another level, he usually uses a man or a woman. My desire is to almost become a magnet upon every son and every daughter to draw them in the place where God wants them to be in their ministries and to break, receive the word from God that Joshua received. See, I've given you Jericho. In other words, the Jerichos of your ministry, the walls of your ministry, the Jerichos of your ministry must be inhabited. And this apostolic grace has been the missing link at large for ministers to have a, for lack of a better word, a divine rope to pull themselves up on. So expectation must be developed at another level. I want to impart that to you. Never sell it down. It's too great of opportunities that is available to us as ministers. So have that type of expectation. Number four, you must keep and I know you need to hear this because I know all of us need it sometimes, and I want to show it to you in the scripture. because it was so powerful. And if I didn't say anything else this morning, I think this one is one of the top. You must keep a fresh measure of encouragement or you won't make it. You must keep a fresh measure of encouragement or you won't make it. What are we talking about? The mystery of partaking the apostolic grace, going to take measures and measures of encouragement. Because you see, God said to Jeremiah, I call you to plant and the build and the tear down in Jeremiah chapter 1. And so when we're structuring this apostolic grace, if you're a pastor, into your church, of your traveling minister, into your ministry, a lot of times some things will be torn down. And you're going to have to be encouraged to know that what you're torn down become a stepping stone for you to go to your next level. In other words, what I had to do and what you're going to have to do not get stuck in your ways about things. Always be open for the Holy Spirit to channel you into a deeper dimension, a deeper measure. So you're going to need encouragement. And I like what happened here. When you read these scriptures in the... In 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is one of my favorite passages because many times I had to encourage myself. I couldn't go talk to nobody else. And I know many of y'all know something about that. Many times you may have the, I never had it. I don't remember using the why question and why this not happened. I just came to my humbling position when I was starting out in ministry and just did what the Lord told me to do. But here, is a good lesson in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Sometimes it looked like this happening in your ministry. Had taken a woman captive that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burning with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, they cried. They can't cry anymore. And David's two wives were taken captive, verse 5. And Hinnom and Jerahlatish and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And then verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. Now verse 6 of that 30th chapter, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And many times in this apostolic race, this apostolic grace, sometimes many moments of separation. And I got another point I'm going to talk to you about that so you understand what it is. But this encouraging yourself instead of discouraging yourself and hearing yourself, hearing your soul, hearing your mind, hearing your imagination, hearing your conscience say certain things, correct that immediately. Correct that immediately. For if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season. And you have to recall all the scriptures you have learned over the years. The Holy Spirit will try to recall them to you. Let him recall them that you may encourage yourself. Sometimes like you're not pushing out like you should go. Things are not functioning like they should. Don't put it on LTMA. You were like that before you got in here. We're here as brothers and sisters to remove that wall. And by the Spirit and by experience and by encounters and by evidence, as Brother Hagin did with me, is to bring everybody to another level. Not only that, David encouraged himself, but another important thing that in this apostolic grace journey, not only will you have to encourage yourself because you'll hit some signs and some highways that might not be conducive to you floating, it would cause you to press It will cause you to pull. It will cause you to tell yourself, shut up. And so in the 7 and 8 verse of that Sam Hoban, not only have you to encourage yourself, but there are moments you're going to have to make inquirement when those kind of things are going on. And so the 7th verse, David said to Abathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now in the 6th verse, he encouraged himself. Then the 8th verse, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So in those moments that seem like a moment of discouragement, you need to do these two things. Encourage yourself and then inquire of the Lord. I think it's so important. You must keep a fresh measure of encouragement or you won't make it. And then, I'm almost through. Then we've been going about 27 minutes. And then, explosive moments you have never seen will begin to express themselves in your ministry. Explosive. That's apostolic grace. If it doesn't, it's not apostolic grace. Explosive moments you have never seen. If you follow the points that I gave earlier, this grace will begin to express themselves in your ministry. Here's a voice I'm not real familiar with, but I lack it. In Isaiah 28, this voice gives us insight of what that statement means. Remember, let's not get off the page. Now, the mystery of partaking the apostolic grace. Recognizing when you see it, realizing you don't have it, and receiving it with humility. Now, I had to do all this. You know, I'll do it all over again. I don't regret none of the moments I had to humble myself and just follow and shut up and pay attention. It paid off. That was a prophetic grace I was receiving then, but it paid off. All right, Isaiah 28, verse 21, and we're dealing with explosive moments you have never seen will begin to express themselves in your ministry, or themselves in your ministry. And here we have this verse 28, 21, for the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perzim, he shall be wrought at as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his acts, his strange act. For here, apostolically and operating in this grace, many times, pastor, you will be an oddball in the city to a certain degree. Because you're a territorial, governmental church, and you're not running with all the little fads that's going on. You're trying to hear from God, and some things you're doing is just not ordinary. But I think God's work, when you get into God's work properly, apostolically and prophetically, and then the other three of the five more full ministry gifts tag into that as one man, you begin to see strange work. And you begin to see strange act carried out by the power of God. I thought that was good to understand that these explosive moments you have never seen will begin to express themselves in your ministry. That is exciting. And then two more things I want to talk to you about to wrap this up. And then Galatians 1:1 is a voice we need to look at now. Galatians 1:1. It's stated other places in the epistles, but I think Paul nailed it in the head here. This is not a socializing gathering. When we come on this impartation call, we have the meeting going on, etc. Here Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle. And then in parentheses in my Bible, he makes this statement. Not of men. Powerful statement. not of our man. Powerful statement. But by Jesus Christ, powerful, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Here, Apostle Paul, that's a half hour warning there, so I'm going to close in a few minutes. But I only have two more. Here, Apostle Paul, and here's where this apostolic grace sort of overpowered everybody. Endorsement by man is not needed. For many times you will be functioning and flowing beyond the norm. And Galatians 1:1, Paul said, you know, I'm called to be an apostle. Because the apostolic grace will almost, for lack of better words, take you out the normal pace. You won't function in the normal pace because your race will get so great and so faster. So he says, you cannot expect endorsed by man is not needed. For many times, listen closely, for many times you will be functioning and flowing beyond the norm. That's what Apostle Paul always had problems, you know, and he rebuked Peter, and he just did things. He just flowing, you know what I'm saying? And this last one I want to talk to you about, and we're talking about the mission. I might have to take more of this, the mission of Paul taking the apostolic grace. What the Lord has done with me is taken me into a lot of secrets in this apostolic pursuing and preaching a lot of mysteries. You know, the Bible said, give it to you to know the mystery. And when you know the mystery, you'll be had, everything will be more abundant in your life than Matthew 13. Extreme, exciting joy and peace will be in all season of your ministry from this day forward. No matter what has happened, what is happening at any given moment. Let me say it again. Extreme, exciting, and joy and peace will be in all season of your ministry. And I'm prophetically speaking this over you, imparting this to you. From this day forward, no matter what is happening at any given moment. At this point in my ministry, it's so exciting, even here with you this morning. It's just getting extremely excited because this grace sort of pulling me to another level of confidence, another level of access, and another level of boldness. So let me run over these things right quick with you. Then I'm going to read this last verse, which is one of my favorite verses of apostle grace being released. And it goes along with this last one about this extreme exciting joy and peace for being all seen of your ministry when I read this to you. But so we're talking about experiences, encounters, engaging, evidence, and embracing. Remember, we started Philippians 1:7. Talk about recognizing when you see it, this apostolic grace, realizing you don't have it, and receiving it with humility. Paul talked about frustrating grace and not engaging it. And so I want you to engage it. Everything that is taught must be caught by the spirit of faith. Embracing the apostolic grace is not a small task. You must be committed to the encounter. Very, very clear. Expectation must be developed at another level. Very clear. You must keep a fresh measure of encouragement or you won't make it. Very clear. Explosive moment you have never seen will begin to express themselves in your ministry. I prophesy that over your ministry and impart that to you right now. Endorsement by man is not needed. For many times in your city and in your area or state, you'll be functioning and flowing beyond the norm. But that's what this fellowship is about. This fellowship is that if it seems like you're going off, one of the MVBs or myself or one of the meetings will pull you back in line. You have to, this is real blessed territory, but it's real dangerous because you're venturing out, you're crossing the denominational line, lines that men have drawn in the sand of the rim of the spirit, with no line can be drawn. There's so much more. And so we talk about this extreme and exciting joy and peace will be in the season of your ministry from this day forward, no matter what happened at any given moment. So my expectation here in this impartation, a real strong visitation by the presence of God in your commission, the commission that God has given you, the city God has put you in. No city is too hard. I mean, this is proven from headquarters. Acts 20:28, the Apostle Paul was constantly placing graces on ministry apostolically, telling them how to cover themselves, how to protect themselves. And this has always been one of my favorite teaching, not knowing that one day I would be an apostle and be passing out this all over the world. But here in Acts 20:28, take heed unto yourselves. See, that's number one. Then to the flock. Oh, watch it, and it's important. Watch the Holy Ghost, not no men, not LTMA, have made you overseers. And then he says to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. He warns us. He warned the church as he placed this apostolic grace on his church before he leaves. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This apostolic grace will enable you to have a firm discernment in your position in the kingdom. Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Then he tells something in the 30th verse, also of your own selves shall men arise. Speaking of which day, and draw away disciples after them. I think all of us who are pastors have seen this at some degree. A person leave the church, but they don't want to leave by themselves. They won't take somebody else with them, you know. We've seen that happen many times. I've seen people die from that, messing around with that. So the 31st verse, and I'm almost through two verses. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, the Apostle Paul said, I see not the one here one night and day with tears. That's a love that Paul had for those under him. I have that same love for you. It's tough love, but you got to have it that way. And then in the 32nd verse, and I recommend this to you, this is where we really flourish in apostolic grace. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I don't, you know, you can't conclude this impartation no better than that. These Sam words are still alive. The apostleship is still alive. And as I speak to you as your apostle, I give you those Sam words. Watch the flock. Watch the flock. Take care of the flock. Watch those who rise up. Take care of them. Watch those who try to be wolves, even and bring people from your ministry. Know the wisdom of God, and may that wisdom and that grace be upon you even more. All the things that I've spoken, Father, Holy Spirit, make it real in our hearts, in our connection, in our fellowship, and every need of every ministry, every minister that's under the sound of my voice, there's 100-something men and women on this phone. They are dedicated to be here for me to give this impartation. And all my years of ministry and all my years of encounter, all my years of experience, Father, I release it upon them this morning. And whatever they're dealing with, whatever trying to battle, may one of the points that we talk about this morning, may they be encouraged in the anointing. May they develop new expectation. It's so powerful. We're so thankful. Wait, I'm looking for my notepad to close in this prayer. Thank you so much. Thank you so much that the impartation of these things, they recognize that we'll never, Father, try to make anybody look small, trying to take anything from anybody. Just may LTMA operate as one man in the apostolic grace. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and I'll see you in the next meeting, and we'll see you on the next importation. Amen. We're shooting for 100%. And so if those people don't think this is important to them, I want to cut them off the call, and then I have to do some other kind of this, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just pray about it. But I know when we began, just about we had our number, the MVBs can do so much. They can call and say you need to be online and call and say you need to be online. But if those people are absent on purpose, are absent with disrespect to the MVBs and to me, something has to be done about it. I don't know why the other people on this line can sacrifice and make it possible to be here. Only if it's your job or something else. But when you talk about 40 or so many numbers over 30 that haven't contacted the MVBs, haven't given no reason why they're not on the line, I'm not going to permit you all to waste your own energy or to waste my energy in the spirit on such people. They might need to be in another group, you know, that you do what you want to do. But apostolically, I don't think Paul would put up with it. It's the same thing, Junior and David. It's the same thing that Paul said about John Mark. He come when he get ready. Paul said, I'm not putting up with that. And so I'm going to ride piggyback on that same apostolic discernment. Because if a person don't recognize today, one of the pastors might not have received 9 things, but they may receive just one word that is so important. So if pastors can sacrifice to be on this phone, everybody can sacrifice to be on this phone. Now, so we're not, I'm closing, but we're not, and I need to get this instruction, we are not going to permit people to be complacent because they'll never be able to get this grace, and it's just going to be luggage and baggage. And the Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you, because it becomes sin when God is doing something such as he's doing with us. I think we got a harmonious group. I think we're going to see great results. I see some of the numbers. I watch them. They are changing this very moment. Some of them are changing. I watch them in the convention. They're coming up to par. They're seeing that the love and the time that is involved, the prayer, that the MVBs are praying, and I'm praying, that it's so important. And so religiously, we're not going to have this, because this is a revelation. We're not going to permit nobody to go through a routine like they can do what they want to do. Finally, my brother and sisters, and I want the other one to hear me too. Finally, if we are not going to comply with the delegated authority demand, not request. We've got to make a demand, or that's it. We've got to make a demand that they be on the line, just like all these other 100 people on the line. You think these people have something to do too? So I want the MVBs are listening to me. I want y'all to go to work. Giving y'all authority right now to handle that. Got it?
Got it, sir. Got it, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll take care of it. Real quickly, I want to let you know about the next Supernatural Money Coming to You conference that's coming up. It's our second tier meetings. It's on February 22nd and 23rd in Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll be at Household of Faith International Church, pastored by Pastor Maude Scroggins. Again, that's February 22nd and 23rd. It'll be 3 sessions. Thursday, 7 p.m. Friday, it'll be 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Also, don't forget about your respective circle calls that you have with the MVB that's leading your circles. Be sure to attend those circles. And real briefly, I'm going to, before we get off the call, I'm going to go through the roll call again. And what I'm going to do this time, I'm going to call the MVB's name. And when you hear your MVB's name, and you did not...